So this week we will, Be'ezer Hashem, discuss koshering of pots and pans and sinks and counters and stoves and ovens and ranges and things like that.
Toast and kettles.
And kettles, okay. And then sort of certain things of how we have to prepare the kitchen and items of the kitchen and our own self for the Yom Tov. And then we'll end with some interesting things that you may not be aware of that should be taken care of before Yom Tov. Okay? So let us begin. When we talk about koshering, what's an interesting thing is that the laws of koshering in Shulchan Aruch, in the Code of Jewish Law, where they are placed, where they're found, is in Hilchos Pesach, even though they apply to all year round. Okay, why is that? Simply because most people kosher things on Pesach, or right before Pesach, meaning. So the Shulchan Aruch put it over there, and if it ever happened, you had a mishap in the kitchen, you use the milchik spoon and the fleishik soup, you look over there and you'll see how to kosher it. And there's the general conduct that was done, certainly in the times of the Shulchan Aruch and before that, was they used all their chametz dishes for Pesach. And they just koshered everything. Wood and metal, and then there were certain things they couldn't kosher. So certain things that we're going to go through that you can't kosher, some of it all year round, and certainly not on Pesach. We're going to discuss the things that you can't kosher for Pesach. Most of us have separate dishes, pots and pans, cutlery for Pesach. We have separate ones. We're not koshering everything. But certain things, either that we like or they're too expensive to buy a new one, we're going to kosher as well. So things you can kosher, and again we'll stick to Pesach for now, still these things you can kosher are anything that's made out of china, anything made out of pottery, earthenware, can't be koshered. Okay, the Ashkenazi custom is not to kosher glass for Pesach. Even all year round it's debatable, but certainly on Pesach the Ashkenazi custom is not to kosher anything that is glass. So something that was glass that was used for hot chametz, you will not kosher it for Pesach. Now, if it was never used for hot chametz, so you only use it, let's say, for cold soda, which is chametz soda or kidney soda all year round, they're not really chametz. So that's maybe you pointed out someone so you can kosher glass for Pesach. Maybe that meant like drinking glasses.
Well, these glasses were wine glasses, and I used them at our Seder when I was a kid, but I just koshered them and put them in for Shabbos. Regular.
So wine glasses, that's because you're not using them for something that's hot. So there's no chametz in them, right? But your Pyrex dish that you use to bake an apple pie, which is chametz, you can't kosher that for Pesach. Even though it withstand great temperatures of heat and you put it in a boiling pot of water, we don't kosher that for Pesach. Okay?
So,
plastic.
But it was around chametz and we don't kosher it? We can simply use it as is?
No, you would still
wash it
and clean it. Yeah, but if it wasn't used for anything that...
Even if it was on a chametz table.
Right. Now we'll see, there is a custom that we have. And anything that was around chametz and used on the table, even the candlesticks, you kosher if it was used on the table.
Really?
Yeah.
So the wine cups.
And the Bechers, right.
So you're going to talk about...
We'll explain how to do that. Yeah, we're going to go through the steps. That's right. Yeah. Ms. Berkowitz, do you have a few pots boiling on the stove?
I will if you want.
Okay.
So take care of it. I can get started right now.
Right. That and a lot of towels.
I got that.
If you want to kosher your counters.
Oh,
okay.
No. I tried that. That's how I did it.
I did that years ago.
Good. You'll listen to some do it.
What a mess.
Yeah. We used to do that too.
Right.
No more.
But it is really a mess.
You don't have to, right? Are you going to tell me I don't have to?
No. Well, there's an alternate way to use the counters, but...
When I boil, I put the water
Okay. Anyway, okay. Plastic for the purpose of this shiur, we're going to be going with the view of Rav Moshe Feinstein and others that plastic we do not kasher for Pesach. Plastic, rubber, any other synthetics that are new to our modern day, that didn't have in the times of the Shulchan Aruch, certainly not in the times of the Gemara, Rav Moshe says we don't know exactly how they operate and therefore we don't kasher them. There are Rabbanim out there that say you could even kasher it, they know how it works, but for all intents and purposes, most of the world has been going with the viewpoint of Rav Moshe Feinstein that you don't kasher these things. Any item that you're worried is going to get ruined when you kasher it, okay, because it's a little delicate, those things you can't kasher all year round also. And the reason is because the Chacham were worried, the rabbis were concerned that if you put it in the fire, the boiling water, you're really not going to leave it in the requisite time because you're worried something may happen, it may break, it may bend. So those things also you're not going to be able to kasher. So determine what item you're talking about. You know, if it's a plastic spoon, like plastic, you said we're not going to kasher. But if it's a very thin metal spoon that you're scared it's actually can't withstand the heat of a rolling boil of a pot of water, then those things you won't be able to kasher. And for Pesach purposes, just put it away with the chametz items. Okay. What pot do you kasher in when we talk about kashering with a pot? So some people have a designated kashering pot. You could have that. That's simple. Otherwise, you could really just kasher things. Really doesn't matter with what you kasher. As long as the pot hasn't been used in 24 hours, you can kasher with any pot that you want.
Well, you could kasher in a big, like a pot used for soup?
Yeah, but
meat. I always said it had to be a pot. Okay, that's great to know.
Yeah. The best thing, if you want to be safe, use a Pesach pot because you're kashering your items for Pesach and it hasn't been used.
Pesach pot?
No, because you use enough water anyway in it. So, yeah.
You have to drop a rock in the water, right? So that the water comes over the top. That's
if you're going to use, let's say, a pot that's not kosher. So you want to first kasher the pot. Then you need to drop a rock in that spills over the sides. Or if you want to kasher that pot itself. But if you if you have a large enough pot that you're putting the items in, mm-hmm. right? So then you don't have to drop a rock in. Yeah. Okay.
So if you're koshering a pot from every day to Pesach, and can you do that at the time that you're koshering other things, or is that a separate process?
Like again?
Okay, so say I have a big soup pot I use year-round,
uh-huh.
and I want to kosher.
You want to use it for Pesach. Okay.
So I'm boiling the water in it. At the time that I'm koshering it by boiling the water and boiling over and whatever, can I add other stuff into that? Or do I have to boil it first, empty it, and then...
No. So just boil it first and make sure it spills over the sides so you get the top also, the lip. And then that's koshered.
Okay, so then I can just add stuff in there.
And then you could put stuff.
That's what I was asking. Mm-hmm.
Right, no, then you could. Then you could.
It's a little safer.
I may have missed this in the very beginning. Is there some school of thought, you may have said this, that says it's better not to kosher things, your regular things for Pesach? I thought I read this somewhere. No?
Okay. No. No, things that are kosherable. Mm-hmm. You can do so.
Even with
Let's say a person has all their cutlery, the silverware for their Shabbos silverware. Instead of buying a whole new set, they want to use the ones from everything's metal. It's one piece. It's not an issue. It's things that have a handle to them as a problem. It's one piece. You can kasher them. Yeah.
And even with the intent, obviously, to turn them back, you have to use them again.
Correct. You don't have to kasher them after Pesach.
right.
But yeah.
With the intent, you're going to
Yeah. I didn't know that. Okay, so let's, before we start to talk about the kashering, we'll just go in this order. We'll start with the stove, the oven, and how we kasher that for Pesach. I don't think anybody here has a separate designated stove or oven for Pesach. No?
How about it?
Not this week.
Not this lifetime, yeah?
Just going back to the pot, it doesn't matter if it has plastic handles, correct? As long as it hasn't been used in 24 hours, there's a rolling boil. We're not trying to kasher the pot itself, so we don't need to put a stone in there.
Right.
We're just kashering cutlery.
Correct.
And how much water needs to be in there? Does it matter?
60 times the item that you're going to put in.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What are you kashering? A fork? Right?
Yes.
A fork, a spoon?
Yeah.
Fork, so you take a sizable pot, you fill it up almost to the top. It's 60 times the amount that displace it, right?
Yes.
Take a spoon.
Yes.
Fill up a rectangular
dish.
Yeah, dish or a Tupperware, aluminum pan, whatever. Place the fork in, yeah, mm-hmm. And then it spills out. Some water spills out, mm-hmm. Right? And you have to have a bigger pan outside of that. You have to catch the water, yeah. Now times that by 60. How much did you have? What was it? 0.2 ounces. Mm-hmm. Times that by 60. So you're certainly in a regular pot. You have enough. The only thing when you're kashering, so when you put in, you're going to put in a fork, and then you're going to put in a spoon, and you put in maybe the third item. All of a sudden, because it's cold against the heat, so then mm-hmm. the boil starts to.
Diminish.
So
then what do you
do? You just have to wait till it gets to a rolling boil again, and then take them out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they all have
if you're actually doing a lot of them, what you should do is really tie them all on a string. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. tie them, and then the next one, a little bit later, and you just put them all in, and then slowly pull them out, pull out the string.
Like what do you call that, chatzitza or something?
Yeah, very good, that's true. But really, what we're only worried about, that's chametz, is only on the handle. Of the blade of the knife, the spokes of the fork, there's no name for a spoon, but
the bowl
of the spoon. Shh, there you go. We just coined the phrase right now. Yeah. So that's really what you're concerned about. So you're tying the handle part of it. So therefore, it's not a chatzitza. But that was a great question.
Nice laundry type bags. Some of them, depending on what they're made out of, they melt. So
okay.
The ones are better.
Yeah, or if you take a little.
Can you use cheesecloth or that doesn't allow it to go through enough?
Yeah, as long as the water can get through, yeah. Yeah.
Could you
can use a little like basket, you know, like a shower caddy.
Yeah.
You know, a shower caddy, I'm just thinking now, right? Why else do they make shower caddies? Half the people don't use them in the showers. This is why they made them. So you can put your silver in there and then dunk it in and then pull it out like that. Yeah.
I think it's like a strainer thing.
Well, the thing they have
right.
for your dishes.
Yeah. Right, like a little basket.
Yeah, it's like a white metal dish.
Right, right.
Okay. But you have to be, I mean, if each piece has, you can't put on top of each other, so you can't do everything.
They can't put the whole set in.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm.
Right, well, what you do is then you put the basket that you're going to put it in halfway in already. Then you just drop it in, and once it drops in, so it's gotten all, the water has hit every part of the utensil before it landed on the basket. Yeah. Right? So you just do each one like that.
Before it lands on the basket.
If you're going to be touching, if two forks are touching each other, so then the one side of it is not really getting hit by the water. That's the issue.
It's falling on
right.
Is there an amount of time that it has to be in the water?
No, there is a little bit of a discussion about how long it has to be. Does it need to be there for a few seconds? But more than 5-10 seconds is sufficient.
Okay, so excuse my little pea brain here that doesn't really know anything. So is this just like toiling in hot water? like the whole process of it not touching anything aside or...
There's one, yes, except there's one difference.
It's not...
When you table something, so you know also the water has to touch the entire inside and outside. Well, what you could do is you could actually take your hand, stick it into the mikveh water, and then place the item into your hand. Because since your hand already is in the water, mm-hmm. so even though it's now... The cup, or I'm holding a cup as an example, the cup here that's touching your other hand is not considered a chatzitza, an interposition between the water and your hand.
You can't do that in boiling water.
But you can't do that in boiling water. That's right.
You can't do that in boiling water. Wait a minute. You don't have to let it go and catch it?
That's right.
That's why Sandy dove in to get something.
Yeah. You should know. Most people think that's what you have to do it. Most people think you have to, you know, like you do a dance in the water, like catch it.
So you take it in your hand, one hand.
You put your first hand, you place into the water.
Right.
And then you put the item that you want to betovel, you put that into the water and let it go into your hand.
Into your hand.
Oh my God.
And then your water was already, your hand had water on it, right? So it's not a problem. And then just pull it out.
Yeah. But that would be retoiled your hand. So
but it's okay.
That's
same
right.
Same concept.
Except for the fact that we can put a string around it.
So on the handle, because that doesn't count.
Right. They're not putting the handle on their mouth? Is that why?
Because the handle really hasn't gotten really chummets on it anyway. Yeah.
Not hot chummets.
Okay. Is that good? We learned something new?
Yeah.
Okay.
So far, a lot.
Could we end early tonight?
No.
All right. We'll go further. All right. So let's talk about kashering ovens. Okay. So if you're like my mother, she should live and be well. She used to always have an insert for Pesach. What's an insert? Is however small your oven is, you now make it smaller. Okay? An insert was, you basically had this metal box that was closed on five sides, and the sixth side had a little door, and there was a shelf in it, and you put that in your oven. That's an insert in your oven. And therefore you have two little shelves to bake, cook, and have all your stuff that you need for Pesach in your oven. If you have that, then you don't have to kasher your oven.
If you don't have that, you barely have an oven.
Keep going, we don't have that.
Yeah. You don't have that.
Maybe work that.
Okay.
No, I'm not making my oven smaller.
But yeah, but that's what my mother used to use. Yes. So if you do want to kasher your oven, and why did my mother stop using the insert?
She never had one.
Self-cleaning oven. That's right. Because self-cleaning ovens came out. That's right. So, now let's go. 1925, self-cleaning ovens came out. My mother stopped using the insert.
It did not come out in 1925.
All right. My mother wasn't alive in 1925 either. So, whenever it was that they came out, my mother stopped using them. Right? And that's why at home we don't use them, the inserts either. If you have a self-cleaning oven, so it's very simple how to kasher for Pesach. All for all year round, if you haven't done the kasher, and that is just put on the self-clean cycle. It's very simple because then the racks you don't have to worry about. You don't have to clean it out beforehand.
You don't have to clean it out.
You have to wipe it.
I think there's an echo in the room. You don't have to clean it out.
Leave the racks in, even though the instructions tell you not to, and they do get discolored. But nobody's taking pictures of what the how discolored the racks are.
Some manufacturers say my sister
Everything I did got ruined, and so what? I'm not replacing. I'm not
gonna. The racks get ruined.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
My instructions.
I mean, at home, that's what we do. We put on a self-cleaning oven. The racks just stay in.
My instructions. After I have to also, before I use the self-cleaning oven, it was before or after, I forget, I'm sorry, but it's before or after, I also have to do the door and the gasket, because that does not get self-cleaned.
Okay, good, let's discuss, good, we'll discuss everything. Anyway, the kashering could be done, you can do it, even if you just used it for cooking chametz in it. You can kasher it.
You don't have to wait. 24 hours.
Okay. 12 self-cleaning oven is simple. The only thing is that with the door. Okay, so it was just mentioned with the door.
Before we get to the door, stuff that drips onto the on the bottom and it's under the coil, so you can't get to it to clean it off. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, totally burned up.
You don't even have to spray it.
Totally burnt up.
Self-cleaning oven.
Self-cleaning oven is totally burns everything up.
Time, because you can change the time on the self-cleaning cycles.
No, I use the longest cycle.
Mine goes 4.5.
4.5 hours?
Mine I can't.
Wow, you don't have to put on the heat in your house then. It gets so hot.
I mean, you could do it long.
You could do it less. You certainly could do it less.
I think mine's 3.5.
Yeah.
What's the minimum time?
The idea is, what's the minimum time? You could do it an hour?
I think 2 hours is the lowest that mine will go down to.
You can do it now. The point is like this. The point is, when you put on your self-cleaner, does it show what temperature it goes up to?
No, yeah. It just locks the oven.
It goes to the highest,
but it also...
Yeah. See, a self-cleaning oven, they designed to be able to withstand heat of about 800 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah. And therefore, anything that's inside that oven is totally burnt. Okay. That's tantamount to what we call in halacha, libun gomer. Mm-hmm. It's the highest degree of heat. It's like a blowtorch. It's like putting a blowtorch of fire on the racks and the walls of the oven. So it just cleans everything in its way, and it's totally fine. The only thing is that the door, so it's not so clear if the door actually gets that intensity of heat. And certainly the door, a lot of times you take something out of the oven and you put it on the door. It's a great counter. So you put it on the door, maybe something will spill out it. So there are those who are careful to actually cover the door. And what you can do is just take a heavy-duty aluminum foil and cover the door and bring it around the outside and tape it on the outside. The tape stays because the heat doesn't get to the outside. And if you want to be able to see the food or the light, if it's on, just make a little hole in the aluminum foil, and this way you have a peephole to be able to look into the oven, see what's going on. But then that little amount, it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. Worried about, you may put something down, you have the aluminum foil.
You have to do that.
So there are those that say you don't have to cover the oven doors. So I say that it's like everything in Pesach, there are chumris, there are people who are scrupulous about it and try to do what's best. So it's best to cover it, not necessary.
So minimum is to what? Spray it down?
What, the door?
The door.
Yeah.
Spray with ammonia, heavily, and then wipe it off. That's what we do.
Okay, so this is by a self-cleaning oven. Let's go to a non-self-cleaning oven. Sounds like nobody has a non-self-cleaning oven anymore. Ah, okay.
So our ring is a non-self-cleaning
oven. Fantastic is the same as ammonia? Fantastic or 409?
I think so. I think they have ammonia in it. If to my understanding, yeah.
We don't get plain ammonia.
Okay, so for a non-self-cleaning oven, this you have to first clean. In other words, you have to clean it with some
easy off,
something caustic that can really get off all of the schmutz that's there, all the dirt that's there. Obviously, the rust that you're trying to take off and you're scrubbing for 3-4 minutes straight, not coming off, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, you have to just clean off the racks and clean off the oven as best as you can to make sure that it's all clean. And then you put it up to the highest temperature, usually 450 or 500 degrees, leave it on for an hour, and you're fine. Okay? But this, in this case, you have to make sure that your oven has not been used for 24 hours before you kosher it. Okay? Because this doesn't have that degree of Liban Gomer, it's a lower degree of Liban, of kashering, and therefore wait 24 hours, clean it out, and then put it on for an hour as long as it goes. It's going to work for the racks also, unless you have the practice of putting chametz directly on the racks. For example, when you make you know, the challah or this bread that you buy like half baked, half frozen, and you put it directly on the racks, it's going to be problematic.
What's going to be a problem?
You're going to have to kosher the racks with something more intense than just putting on
the
non-self-cleaning.
It's a self-cleaning because I tap them out of the pans.
Yeah,
and you put it almost done, and I let them get a little crisp on them.
Ah, okay, very good. So if you put it
like probably Saturday night, I'll hit self-cleaning before I go to bed.
Good.
And that's it.
Okay. Okay.
Nothing else in the kitchen. You get out. Don't come back.
Okay.
Did you? I think you said this. Even if you put in a self-cleaning oven, if you cook something chametz, you don't have like a cake or something. You don't have to wait 20.
Right. Okay. Self-cleaning, you won't have to wait. But the non-self-cleaning, okay. For us from the old generation, still have a non-self-cleaning. So that's what you do. Don't use 24 hours. Clean it out well and put it on the highest temperature for 500 degrees.
And what about the racks if there's been chametz directly on the rack?
So if you put chametz directly on the rack,
torch it or something?
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah, your husband is handy. He could do that. He probably has a blowtorch. Yeah. So then just blowtorch them. Yeah. Yeah, then the racks are easy because it's not like it's near any counters or anything else. Take them outside. You just do that. That's right.
Now, can you also put the grates from your stovetop into the oven?
No, because we're not up to that yet.
Okay.
And the same thing, by the way, for the boiler tray. Okay, so I know ovens don't come with boiler trays anymore, but it used to be there's two parts to the oven, the top and the bottom, or the bottom is that the boiler tray. So there also people put direct chametz and it's much closer to the fire. So that also, if you want to use that, you'll have to blowtorch it. Okay, if it's in a non-self-cleaning oven, if you have a separate boiler, it's a non-self-cleaning. Okay, same thing by the way with the warming drawer. For those who have a warming drawer, it's a problem. You can't really kosher it for Pesach. Okay, any knobs that are around the oven and the stove, just clean them well and it's sufficient. You don't have to cover them with silver foil. You don't have to do that. Okay, microwave oven. So it's interesting. It used to be that everyone just said, you can't kosher microwave oven for Pesach. And that's it. For 8 days, you manage without your microwave oven. And lately, different kosher organizations and Rabbanim have come to say, well, actually, as long as you change the glass tray, because you can't kosher glass for Pesach, you use something else. They suggest to buy styrofoam or something else. You can. Our glass tray broke several months ago. We just use a regular plate. It works also. Yeah. Okay. But you can't use the glass tray. Now, if the inside is made out of plastic, mm-hmm. so you really would have the same problem trying to kosher plastic. It's made out of metal, right? Stainless steel. So you would be able to kosher it. Still others, and Rabbi Heinemann holds like this, that a regular microwave oven, he says, actually the way as further research was done, he says, some microwave ovens actually never really get hot to the touch. Mm-hmm. He says you could test it out, put a potato or put a pot of a bowl of water and heat it up, or heat up the potato, and then when you open the door and if you could hold your hand on the wall of the ceiling or the ceiling for 15 seconds, he says they never got hot in the first place. He said then for sure you could use it for Pesach. How would you kosher a microwave oven? If you can kosher it in one of the ways we mentioned just now, just put it in a bowl and put it on for 10 minutes till the bowl of water, heat it up, put it on for 10 minutes on the highest, and it gets steam all over the place.
That's if it's stainless steel. If it's plastic, nothing good.
If it's plastic, then you can't really kosher it.
Unless it doesn't get hot.
If it doesn't get hot, then Rabbi Heidemann actually holds you could just use it for Pesach. Yeah. A dishwasher also, most hold that you can't kosher it for Pesach, so for 8 days, we'll wash the dishes in the sink. Okay, now let's go to the stovetop. The stovetop. Anybody have an electric stovetop? No more. You still have you go into an apartment building, some of them still have electric stovetops, usually because when the utilities are paid by the tenant.
Wait a second. Yes. Yeah.
Oh.
We have an electric with the grid.
With a coil.
Yes.
The coil. Ah, okay. Look at that. Okay. So, how do you kosher the stovetop on an electric stove? So you put on that coil and you just leave on each one and do it separately so it's again too hot in the kitchen. You put it on for 15 minutes, you'll see it gets red hot, boom, it's kosher. That's what you have to do. The same thing is with your gas stovetop. The gas stovetop and you have your grates. Okay? So some people have different grates for Pesach. They just buy a new set of grates, whether it's two or four or five, new set of grates for the oven, for the stove. It's fine, you don't have to worry about it. Others want to use the same grates, and it's really not a big deal, the kosher grates. Really, grates we hold are koshered all the time because they're always under the fire. So the fire is always going in. A lot of things spill over, right? But it really gets koshered all the time. So, but you do have to kosher them for Pesach. If you want to kosher them on the stovetop, the way to do it is take either your blech that you use for Shabbos, or take a heavy-duty aluminum foil and fold a square, fold it in a few and make a square that fits the top of that grate, and then put on the fire.
A cube.
Huh?
A cube.
A cube. What did I say?
A square. Because a square is flat.
You can make it flat.
Okay.
Yeah, a flat piece of foil. Just flat piece of foil that's just heavy duty, that it won't actually
so it doesn't need to
burn up.
It.
Right. It just has to contain it. What you're doing is you're putting it over the grate, you put the fire on for 10 minutes, and therefore with the aluminum foil over it, or the blech over it, it will contain enough of the heat to kosher that grate. You can really do all four at a time.
Can you do an inverted, like aluminum pan?
No. Yeah.
Is that too high?
Yeah, no, that also will work. It's a good idea. It may not. If it could withstand that heat, it's going to get very, very hot. So just be careful to use gloves when you take it off. Right? You can really do all four at a time, but you suggest not a good idea. Why? You did it once.
No, but I've heard horror stories.
Yeah.
the back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You put on four burners at once, and going for 10 minutes straight, it could be, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kas v'shalom. High flame.
That's right. The highest flame of each one. If 10 minutes is sufficient.
So what about the drip pans? The
underneath
that are under the electric coil?
Yeah. That you just have to take out and clean well.
Do you have to cover it with foil?
No. So the you know, some people do, and they make special inserts for that, and that's best to do. But the drip pans, you don't really have to. But what you do have to cover is the rest of the stovetop.
What else becomes the stovetop after it cleans it?
Yes. You have to cover the rest of the stovetop.
Nobody does with the grates at all. They have to be covered? I don't remember that.
No, they have to be kosher, not covered. You can't really cover your grates. Then you block out the fire.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But the rest of the stovetop
has
to be, that's right. So you take off the grates, you lay heavy-duty aluminum foil, two or three pieces, punch out holes for the flames, for the burners, and then put the grates on top of it. It looks Pesach-tick, and you're ready to go.
Space agent.
We'll talk about that in a second.
Well, the stovetop.
Yeah.
I don't remember what he does with
you the have grates. To ask him what he does. Find out what he does
what
with the grates.
What did you say was supposed to
it's be? Electric.
If it's a gas or electric?
Gas.
So turn on the burner, each one that the highest that goes for 10 minutes, do one at a time, but cover it with something while it's on, either a blech or a heavy-duty aluminum foil.
You have to cover it?
It's certainly best to cover it.
Do you need to use a drip pan if you're covering the whole thing with foil anyway? Can't you just, you know, cover
You can
it?
Use the foil too, of course.
For the, yeah. Where the drip yeah. pan insert is.
Yeah,
and then just
yeah, yeah. But the aluminum foil, you'll notice, is not that pliable. You know, you bend it too much, it rips. Yeah.
So what could you cover them with? I'm not sure that the black would be a good idea in this case.
Just take a heavy-duty aluminum foil or
put a piece of aluminum foil over each grate?
Yeah, separately. Right, right. Make it, cut it the size of the grate.
Okay.
Yes.
This thing. Easy with each flavor.
I don't remember him doing that.
When are you doing your stovetop?
Now, what if you, what else?
Like the oven, the stove, when do you want to kosher it?
Wash your grates first. You don't have
to
wash your grates first. Yeah, right, but things that you're going to use for Pesach, it doesn't matter on the grates, let's say, because you're going to burn it off.
Right, but, right.
Okay.
Why soak all my grates?
You can do that. Another thing is, a lot of people are afraid to do this because it burns off the enamel, but you can put the grates into the self-cleaning oven.
Yeah, no, it destroys the bottom of the oven.
Destroys the bottom of the oven. Okay.
I have the marks to show you.
Ah, okay.
Oven.
So,
yeah.
Not advisable.
That was last
permissible, time. But not advisable.
The
okay.
First month I had the oven.
A very important thing that people don't... Maybe don't realize, okay, because most people are looking down and ahead. That's how they go through life. And sometimes you don't look up just to get a view of the beautiful creation that Hashem created. Look at the trees sometimes, just walk outside, look at the sky, look at the sunset, the clouds. Appreciate what we have. So while you're looking up, on top of the stove is that hood. Okay, and that hood gets hammered a whole year round with steam from pasta and from all sorts of chametz. Okay, and then you'll be cooking your brisket for the Seder, and the steam is coming up again, and mixing with that the schmutz that's in that oven, and really, so that really has to be cleaned well. And many hold you actually have to cover the hood. Now, obviously, you can't cover any of the vents. If there are actually vents where it's taking in air, you can't cover that. But what I do actually at home is that there are filters that come in the hood, right? So we just ordered new ones. And we have a Pesach one and a Chametz one. So you take the Chametz one off, they're all dirty and anything. You try to clean it, it doesn't get to do a good job. Just put it away. You put a new one in for Pesach. Yeah, it's very simple. Yes. Yeah. There's a place you could probably get it. There's a place it's online. It starts with an A.
Amazon,
that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. No, nowadays, I'm saying, you go to Amazon, they'll bring it with a drone. They'll send it to your house. It'll get it, you know. It's not like the old days.
They'll sell it themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you cover the hood. The whole thing looks very space-age-ish.
Right.
The handles, the knobs.
The knobs you don't have to clean. You don't have to clean.
Same as the
yeah. Another area is the backsplash. Okay. Why do they call it the backsplash?
Because
stuff splashes back there. So certainly the backsplash behind the oven should be covered. Also should be covered with heavy-duty aluminum foil. By the way, if the grates are here, right? The grates are here, and here's the wall. The wall behind the grates. The wall behind where the fire is, where the stove
under,
is.
Like the timer. Hmm.
Correct. Yes.
Like my, timer, no, no, but my timer's up here. Yeah. So
but your timer's a part of your oven.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about the wall behind it.
The oven.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That back part of the oven also, that's metal. It's made out of metal, probably.
Plastic? Yeah.
That also should be covered.
You cover
make
that?
A little hole.
The wall is a...
I mean, is it a space behind the wall?
Behind the oven, I mean, is...
Is a wall.
Is a wall, but there's... Our wall...
You have a vent.
A vent.
Yeah. Yeah, so don't cover the vent. Okay. But the walls behind you, you should cover...
I have to cover... Like, that's my hood. I'm looking at it, and do I have to go all the way up to the top, or am I just...
No, 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 just...
Covering the inside part?
Just the top. You see, you have actually... Well, there you, I see you have... filters, right?
Yeah.
Those are filters.
Yeah. So yeah. I can get filters.
Take the filters out, yeah.
But what do I have to cover?
Yeah.
The light?
There's not much there.
Yeah. Well, but in your case, yeah, you should cover the backsplash, right? Where the fancy design is?
Yeah, that's not nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can make a mural on your aluminum foil if you want. You know, to make it look... There you go. There you go. Right. So that should be covered. And the truth is, yours is pretty high. Pretty high up.
Yes.
You should test it when you cook a pot. If you could put your hand by your hood and you can leave it there and really the steam getting up that high doesn't get so hot, then you're good. Then you're okay. Yours is pretty high. That's what I'm saying. But you can't. It's hard to know. But a lot of times it's much lower down. So the steam getting up there actually is yatzeh lettuce, but it is very hot that it will actually put in the whatever flavor you're cooking. Yeah.
So what if there are vents there? I don't remember if.
Ours. Yeah, the vents you don't cover. I think it's too dangerous to cover them.
Okay, so you cover everything around the vent?
Yeah, yeah, best to cover that. Yeah. Again, if it's high enough, you won't have to. Okay? Another area is we'll talk about cabinets, and for the same reason, a lot of times you take your cabinet, right? You take a hot pot of spaghetti that you just go, and you put it down on your counter. Look, granite countertops, marble, beautiful. So you put it down. You open the pot up, and then steam rushes out. And where does it hit? It hits the bottom part of your cabinet. Mm-hmm. So certainly the bottom parts of your cabinet, you don't realize that you do that on Pesach also. So that also has to be cleaned very well. It's probably dirty on the day, you don't realize it, but it's best to clean underneath the cabinets. Where you, some would even say to cover it, but at least to clean it well. Okay. Very good. So let's move on to... Wait a second here. Okay. Let's move on to the sinks. Okay, people kosher their sinks for Pesach?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you use an insert... If you use an insert, so it's not much you have to do. Just put the insert in. Clean the sink out and put in an insert, okay? They make all sorts of inserts. They make metal ones. They make plastic ones. They make ones that fit your sink. They make ones that are just too short or too long for your seats. No, no, no.
The whole sink.
The whole sink. So some people just buy an insert, okay? You can do that.
If you have a stainless
steel sink.
You can
kosher it.
Yeah, but I can't kosher mine, so I've been.
You can't kosher it.
It's not stainless steel. It's like that. What's it called? The ones that look like farm sinks. The porcelain.
Oh yes. The white one.
It's not a big enough base.
It's enamel. Yeah.
Yeah, but I cover the rest of it with like other things because I can't get one big enough. Now you're saying you can get them custom. I tried even from
Shane O'Malk
as a...
Yeah, they don't have it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's not big enough. Right, yeah. Okay. So those...
What was the purpose of covering the sink exactly? You can't kosher.
Oh, no.
I have stainless steel and I can't.
So we're going to talk how to kosher, but if you can't kosher, you just have to get some insert because you can't put any of your dishes into your sink.
Well, I never put my dishes in the sink.
I
never put my dishes in the sink.
Right, right. But I think most of the world does put dishes in your sink. Where else do you put your dishes?
I use a special rack for Passover, and I use a basin. I use a par basin, dairy basin.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
I never put the
all right,
the
that's good. Okay.
All right, we have
HD zone.
Does that serve the same purpose as insert? I mean, because it's like koshering the
No, you still need it for Pesach.
Yeah, okay.
Oily water
for the cleaner.
Right. Okay, yeah.
All right, so we have racks for milking, racks for flashing. We still have to kosher the sink.
You still have kosher, yeah. Yeah, you have a stainless steel sink?
Yeah.
Okay.
Once it's koshered, we can put things directly
in the sink. Yeah, see, here's what you do with a stainless steel sink. Don't use for 24 hours before you're going to kosher it.
At all? Oh.
For anything hot.
Oh, anything hot, okay.
Right. Don't put on the hot water. Don't pour in any pot from the stove that's hot. Don't put any hot for 24 hours before you're going to kosher it. Okay?
Don't use it.
It's easy.
Then what you have to do is you have to boil up a pot. And actually nowadays they sell these like tall aluminum pitchers, like metal pitchers with a good rubber handle that you can hold, and you heat that up. Now it takes a few rounds of heated up water to get the whole
pitcher.
They sell them in the hardware stores now, in the Jewish hardware stores in Lakewood they sell it. So what you have to do by the sink is make sure it's dry. You start it off, it's dry, and then with the boiling hot pitcher, you have to really cover every surface of the sink. So it's best to start at the top and then work your way down and go over, move your way over the sink and work your way. Start at the top of the wall and work your that way down.
Wait, show again?
And as you, if this was the, this is the inside of the sink.
Yes.
Right? So this is the top, this is the bottom. So you start here and then you work your way down, you move over and you work your way down, you work your way down like that, and then it gets every place. Now,
Not like that?
No, you're going to go across. Right. Don't go like this. It's better to go work your way down and then over and down, over and down.
Okay, and then at the bottom?
The bottom also, you're going to have to get each, go across. The bottom, you'll go across as if it was going down.
But then it's really hard to pull the kettle.
It's not easy. It's true.
So
it's not easy, and the kettle's a little bit bigger than could fit into the sink. Yeah, that's even just the easy way to do it. Okay, there are those that are stringent, and it's interesting why people are not so careful about this. But many hold you don't need this. But what it would seem from the Mishnah Berurah is that you actually have to use a heated brick.
Mm-hmm.
It's called in the Shulchan Aruch an Evan Meluban. Okay, so that's, just tell your husbands about this, they're going to love it. Okay, they actually sell it now. They sell this whole kit. It's basically, it's a wooden handle that turns into a metal cage that holds inside of it a brick surrounded by a little metal cage, and you just heat that brick up on the stove. So now that brick is boiling hot, and a hot brick stays hot for a long time. And when you pour boiling hot water onto it, it keeps that water even at the same temperature there was. So really, many hold that you have to, when you're going around your sink, or even around your countertops, you have to go around splashing the water onto the brick and then onto the sink. Not an easy task. And that's one of the reasons I stopped koshering the countertops and I just cover them. Not easy. Besides the mess. But at least the sink, it's more convenient to use the sink. At least you have one or two sinks you want to use it for Pesach. It's certainly more convenient to do that. So you do that. If you don't want to use the brick, many hold it's okay without it. But just make sure you have to boil up the water and pour it over every surface of the sink.
Each time you pour, that water has to be boiling.
Correct. Right.
So
you'll get one pitcher full out of it. Usually it's better to have another one or two pots already with hot water, and then you pour that one into.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay, so question, does the water from the spout have to be hitting the sink directly, or can you rely on the water that's like pouring down?
you know, like spilling down on the sides. You know, like the water from the spout is only hitting one spot, but the
as long as the water is hitting it, but not just the steam.
Right. Okay, so as long as the water is hitting it, then we're okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And it's best to get it with, we don't have many pots. One kettle. So
you can use a pot. You can use an actual pot.
We don't have. So the kettle. So one kettle, if one kettle is not enough, then what do? We have to start all, I mean, that. If one kettle full of water is not sufficient, then one.
Just boil up the kettle again. It doesn't have to be done within a time frame.
Okay.
You do this wall, and then the next wall, and the next wall, yeah.
Okay, do one.
Yeah.
Okay. You can do a piecemeal. Excellent.
That's right. Yes. This is why I think inserts are pretty popular. Okay. Now, if you have a ceramic, a porcelain, Corian, really any other material except for stainless steel sink, you can't kosher it. Okay, the strainer in the sink, the bottom of the thing they call it a strainer. Yeah, you should pour probably something that's ammonia, something like that, over it. If you have any left over from what you use for the garbage, yeah, you pour it over that, or you can just change. You have a separate one, a new one for Pesach. They're an inexpensive item. Just get a separate one for Pesach.
The garbage disposal, mine is plastic, so I just clean it well.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. That's already deep down. You're not taking anything out of there.
No, but what about the plastic flaps that are in
that
the...
That protect.
Oh, yeah, yes.
I didn't even think of those. I'm talking about the thing you turn to make it go on, the thing you put in the...
Oh, you have an incinerator thing?
I have one. You have to put it in it, so it's plastic, but I can't kosher. I just clean it well.
Right.
It's the only way I can get my garbage disposal to work.
Oh.
You're talking about the flaps...
I'm talking about the plastic flaps that are in the drain.
Yeah, right.
What do you do with that?
Right, just clean them away well with something like ammonia.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to spray it inside. You don't see those flaps really.
Right. Depends on the sink.
You can.
Yeah, you see them. It's just.
Yeah, usually not. Anything that gets down there, or we got to continue because we got to move ahead. Okay. Countertops are also tricky. Okay. If it's pure marble, if it's pure granite, or if it's stainless steel, or something metal, then you can kosher it for Pesach. And you would kosher it the same way you kosher your sink, that you have to have the boiling hot water poured all over. So if this was the countertop, right, here's the wall, and here's the floor, you start here and you pour and go work your way towards where you're standing, work your way here towards where you're standing until you get the whole countertop. Okay, imagine doing this with the hot brick, right? So it's great. Teenagers have a blast with it, okay? Except for the guy, the one whose job is to get the towels. Yeah. So we stopped using that and we just put plastic, thick plastic covers, and you cut them to size. They're pretty easy to use, and that is certainly easier. A lot of other materials really don't work to kosher them. Even a granite composite that has it's mixed really with some plastic material, they say you can't really kosher that. So unless you have something that's a pure stone, and you know, also stones that have cracks or grooves in them, also you can't kosher it. So
I think we have quartz, and I think that we found out that that's one of the softer materials that can't be koshered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. I know. We also thought we had what my wife put into the kitchen. Also thought, oh, it's great. You could just use that. Yeah. And it turns out it's really is one of those that you can't.
So I don't have to do the boiling if I'm going to cover it with the plastic?
You don't have to. You will find many a tzaddikas that will do it anyway.
I'm not so tzaddikas.
There are a lot of women that they kosher their counter, they get every spot, and then they cover it.
Yeah, I did that last year. But if I don't have to do it,
but if you're going to cover it,
they're going to Gan Eden.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going tired, but they go yeah. So yeah, but you don't have to. If you're covering the you don't have to. Okay. Now let's talk about Hagola. We have just a couple of items left, and then some interesting fun things that your eyes will perk up. Hagola. Hagola is putting something in boiling hot water, koshering through boiling hot water. So this, if you want to kasher any of your silver, any of your stainless steel, your metal utensils or bowls or flatware, the pots or pans, they can be kasher through this. Okay? The custom is we don't kasher anything that has been used within 24 hours, so don't use the item that you want to kasher for 24 hours before, which is usually the case. You bring, you take a pot of water, make sure it's boiling, a rolling boil, so the bubbles are going, and then you drop whatever you want to put in, you drop it in, and then you somehow take it out, either with a tongs or some sort of...
tongs have to be kasher l'Pesach?
Well, if you want to make sure, that you can kasher the tongs also, yeah.
Right, right, but what's the pot
of the tongs.
Yeah, it's that, yeah.
Yes, right.
So you got your regular pot, rolling boil, putting it in the silverware, taking it out with kasher l'Pesach tongs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't remove it with chametz tongs, because right. Then you just...
Yeah, and there's no better way to remove it, unless you tied it on a string, okay? So that's what you do. Again, if the water simmers down and it's not a rolling boil, you just have to wait till it gets back to it. It'll take a minute or so, and then you put the next thing in. The custom is, in Shulchan Aruch, every time you take something out of the boiling hot water, you put it in the cold water. So just put it under some running cold water for a second, and that's good enough. An interesting minig that Ashkenaz, the B'nai Ashkenaz have, the Ashkenazi custom is that we kasher, as I mentioned before, any thing that we're going to use at the table, even if it was only used for cold, even if it wasn't even used for food, and it was on the table for chametz during the year, we kasher it. So those who keep their candlesticks, metal candlesticks, on the table when they eat, the custom is to kasher it. Dunk it in the water also and put it under the cold water.
In the burning water?
Yes. And
the water on the table.
And if you don't, some people have a separate tray or counter or shelf for their candlesticks, for their candelabra, so then you don't have to kasher that at all. However, any becher, any silver cup that you want to use, a kiddush cup that you want to use for the Seder, you want to use for Pesach, also you kasher it, you put it in the boiling hot water, and then you wash it off. Okay.
Can we talk about the cold wine glasses?
Cold wine glasses. What's
like
the issue?
If you use a wine glass, you said if it's cold, that it possibly could be kashered.
Right.
So you would put like crystal in boiling water?
No, in that case, you won't have to kasher it. There is an idea you can let it soak. You fill it up with cold water. For
the Rabbi Yisachar told me, fill it with cold water, 24 hours, pour it out, and do it again.
Yes, three times. That's the way you would do glass.
That's what I do with my parents' wine glasses.
Correct. Milu v'ira, yeah. You fill it up, 24 hours.
All my things before, yeah. I did it in the
bathtub. In the bathtub, you can do that. Put them in the bathtub, and then drain the water, do it again, and do it again. Three times.
In the bathtub. So I used a wash basin for my parents' wine glasses.
Right.
So I hadn't been used in decades anyway.
Let's see what they...
But the Seder, so...
Yeah, I have all of these.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to just to say it succinctly here, one of the books, the kashrus books, they have like this. That how do you? It was customary in pre-war Europe to kasher drinking glasses by immersing them in cold water for three periods of 24 hours. This is accomplished by submerging the glasses for one 24-hour period. The water should then be emptied, refilled, and allowed to sit for another 24 hours. And then the procedure is repeated a third time, a total of 72 hours. Okay. So, drinking glasses, you want to use them, that's what you can do.
I did it with wine glasses.
Yeah. Okay, so some people, if it has sentimental value and people want to use it, so you could do that.
The metal utensil that you're washing in the pot, what if it has a stain on it?
Anything that's food related, that's...
It has to be totally clean before you...
Yeah, anything that's still food related. If it's just a tarnish or rust, you don't have to worry about it.
So sentimental value is
cause for okay kashering?
No, that's why people would want to kasher.
But I thought you said you're not allowed to kasher something that has sentimental value because the rabbis are worried that you wouldn't do it properly.
No, that's if they're delicate.
No, that's if the delicate can't withstand the heat. But this is a drinking glass. They want to use the drinking glasses for both. But so that's the way to do it. But drinking glasses are only used for cold. You do the three, fill up with water three times for 24-hour period. Okay. Let's talk about just to some kitchen items. Start with the refrigerator and the freezer. I think we mentioned last week, you just have to clean it out well. Some say you should line the shelves. You really don't have to. You do not have to line the shelves. The shelves of the refrigerator.
Refrigerator.
Refrigerators have shelves.
You do not have to line the shelves?
If you're lining them and you do line them, that's great. You're going to Gan Eden. But you do not have to line them, correct. Because our refrigerator shelves are smooth, there's no real grooves. As long as you clean them well, it's spick and span, you clean them totally well, you do not have to line them. Right. Nothing really hot goes into them. Yeah. Okay. So you don't have to line them, but if you one lines them, it's fine. Ice cube trays is suggested to you, put them away with the chametz stuff, and if you need ice on Pesach, you can buy it.
How about the ice maker? Do you have to do anything with that?
No, just clean it out and it's fine. You can use it on Pesach too.
But you could get new ice cube trays, you're saying. No one does ice cube trays anymore.
We do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Ice
no. People still have ice cube trays, right?
Great.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like it's better to line the shelves, you're kind of saying, aren't you?
You don't have to line the shelves, no.
It won't look like Pesach if you don't line.
But that's
we have to line the shelves. We have to get a foil cover.
The high chair tray. If anybody uses a high chair tray for their child or their grandchild, obviously it has to be cleaned well, and it should be covered with something over Pesach. Contact paper, something like that, something that your child, your 2-year-old will want to start peeling off. That's right. Okay. So, but it should be covered for the whole Yom Tov, certainly. Really, there's a minhag that we cover all tables that any food went on, even if it's a coffee table, but food went on it during the year, to cover it. You can even cover it just with a cloth, a tablecloth, a decorative cloth, but it should be covered. Anything that food came on during the year should be covered. Some even, the Shulchan Aruch even writes that you should, anything that came in contact with food, you should pour boiling hot water on it. Okay? Most people don't do that, but you should cover it. So all tables that had chametz on them should be covered. Cabinets.
Two layer, one layer?
No, one layer is fine. Cabinets, it's the same procedure as the refrigerators and the freezer. Just clean them well. We mentioned last week with the refrigerator, the rubber gasket around it gets a lot of grime and dust and food, and should be cleaned well throughout to make sure it's totally clean.
You need to use the toothpick?
A Q-tip or a toothbrush, or you can spray it with something. That'll make
right.
it.
You don't have to reline your shelves. your cabinets.
Well, you have special shelves for Pesach.
That you put in. No, but you were saying you just have to clean them. You don't just clean them and reline them.
What do you reline them? You have a lining in your shelf throughout the year.
Well, yeah, I put a shelf liner in.
Really?
I do. My dishes aren't right on the wood.
Oh.
You use cabinets?
Yes, I use my cabinets.
So you put a shelf liner. Oh.
Yeah, so what I...
But I would say, just take the shelf... No, just take the shelf liner out for Pesach.
Boy, that's a great idea.
I bought all new shelf liners.
Oh.
You're going to want every shelf... Oh, yeah, I guess you put
it over. You bought new shelf liners.
That's okay. I'll take care of it.
You're going to Gan Eden. Don't worry. Just...
Because that's right. The most time-consuming.
Yeah, you're right, you can do that. Again, many have the custom to line the shelves, and those that do it. But if it's a matter of halacha, you don't have to line the shelves. Okay. Does anybody have braces?
The night guard.
Anybody here have braces? No. But people have braces. Okay. But even if you don't have braces, you probably, you don't have to admit it, but you probably have cavities in your life, right? And some dental work done, so you may have some crowns, you may have some bridge work, you may have some caps that are gold or silver or metal. It's interesting, there are great poskim who say that those things you may have to kasher. So you don't want to put boiling hot water in your mouth, although Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach held that really you should take hot water, at least to the degree that you could withstand its heat, and pour it in your mouth to kasher all of those fillings or coverings or crowns that are in your mouth.
Porcelain can't be kashered.
Not porcelain.
Okay, so in the real world.
But at least even if you're not going to do that, people who have crowns or braces or things like that should really, it's best not to eat anything hot within 24 hours of Pesach. Okay.
It's the day before.
Right. No, but it's just careful. Like the night before, you know, Friday night is the Seder. So Thursday night, you're having, let me have a nice hot piece of pizza. Wow, that's chametz going. So there's a concern about that. It's best not to...
So which material?
You know, with this talks about a lot of the places you talk about people who have dentures. You know, some hold you should take the dentures out and pour boiling hot water over them. Okay, kasher them that way.
So no hot food from Thursday night?
Thursday night, yeah.
Because I have a porcelain cap.
Well, not anything. Most people have sort of apparatus in their mouth.
Something
yeah.
in your mouth.
Yeah, it is best to do that, yeah.
Those night appliances.
Yes.
Those are after you brush your
That's food. Not a problem.
Yeah,
that's not a problem. You're not eating with them.
No, you're sleeping with them.
It's not a problem.
What happens if you put them in after lunch and you haven't flossed and brushed your teeth? So you have chametz in your teeth.
Mm. Yeah, but we're worried about hot chametz that went in your mouth.
Okay,
that's what we're worried. But it happens all the time. You bite into something that has hot cheese on it, or you bite into a hot pasta and it's like. Right,
yeah.
Right. You're swishing around your mouth. You shouldn't burn yourself. That's hot. Certainly to the touch that you put bleus in your mouth. That's what we're worried about. Not anything that just touched chametz.
Okay.
Now, as somebody mentioned, really on who could eat anywhere Erev Pesach. This is so much to do with so little time. And this year, particularly because it's Erev Shabbos, it's Friday. You have to get a lot of things done before Shabbos because you can't cook. And you can't do a lot of the preparations you do normally on a Yom Tov because it's Shabbos. Okay? So just to mention something people may not know this. After Chatzos, after midday, on Erev Pesach, one is not allowed to do any work that you would not be allowed to do during Chol HaMoed. That includes sewing and ironing and hair cutting.
Nail cutting
is preferable to do before Chatzos. If you didn't, you could still do it after Chatzos.
Mid laundry. Like if I have the washing machine going, can I put the stuff in the dryer?
It would be the same thing that on Chol HaMoed. Let's say it's for young children, or it's linen that you can wash, or towels that you can do. But regular clothing should not be done after Chatzos on Erev Pesach. One of the reasons is because that was the time when they had to get ready to do the Korban Pesach. Mm-hmm. So it became like a Yom Tov. Mm-hmm. So it's a quasi Yom Tov already at that time on Erev Pesach after midday. And therefore we don't do any more work. That's not just for the Yom Tov preparations, and that's the same level as work on Chol HaMoed.
So
okay?
Nail cutting, you said it's okay.
It's okay, but it's preferable to do it beforehand. Okay. Yeah, and a woman should know that if you want to get a manicure, you should do it before Chatzos. But the evidence itself, since it's a non-Jew who's doing it, even after Chatzos, is okay. If you got a manicure, by the way, before Yom Tov, if you're in need of another manicure the next week on Chol HaMoed, you can get one as well. Okay.
Destroyed from all the cleaning, you need a little pamper.
Ah, you need that. Okay, so make sure you get it before Yom Tov too, because you can't wait till Chol HaMoed. You say, I'm busy now, but on Chol HaMoed, then I'll go for my manicure. You can't do that.
Only if you've had it right before.
Only if you did it before. Why? Because if you went into Yom Tov proper, you went in looking like you're supposed to, well-groomed before Yantiv. Your nails were done properly, then we let you get another one because it's in need of another one. But if you said, oh, listen, I'm too busy now, but then I'll have time, then we don't let you do it. Okay? Yeah, you may lose your ticket to Gan Eden there, so just be careful.
I love her manicure.
Okay, it's not worth it. Not worth it. Just to mention a few things that need preparation, particularly this year, because it is Friday night is the Seder. Okay, so you have to boil the egg that you're going to use for the Seder plate. You have to roast the zerah, the shank bone, beforehand, grind the murrah, the horseradish, grind it before. If you're washing and checking the romaine lettuce, do that on beforehand. Make sure you do it on Friday. You mix the charoses, make sure you do it on Friday. Preparing the salt water. People sometimes say, oh yeah, that's a big deal. Salt water, can't do that on a Shabbos. So you should do that beforehand. Okay,
and anything.
No, this is just to do before, right?
Just make salt water on Shabbos.
It's an issue of Ibud. But it's one of the 39 malachas. It's included in one of the 39 malachas.
Changes the water. Yeah. Squeezing lemon juice into water.
I know you can't do that, but what's with salt water?
Okay. So that all of this should be done before, and also anything you're gonna cook. You can't cook. Normally on a Yom Tov you could cook. But this is Friday night, so you have to cook all the...
You could make salt water for Saturday night.
Right, you should do it beforehand, yeah.
Or you could do it Saturday night.
Yeah, but we want to do it for the first Seder already.
The first Seder. Done in the afternoon.
So it has to be done Friday afternoon, okay?
No, I never heard of salt water before. I mean, not that I have any reason to make salt water.
Right, but for Pesach we need it, because we dip some things in the salt water. Yeah, okay. Last two things. Okay, this is also based on minug, that anything that falls on the floor in Pesach, a utensil, it doesn't go back on the table. You wash it off first. There was a time when they wouldn't use it the rest of Pesach. Okay, but it fell on the floor, you don't reuse it, just pick it up as you do it on a regular Shabbos, a regular day.
Second rule.
Right, you wash it off. And then you can reuse it again. Food, some wouldn't even eat it anymore. There's some who only say if food fell on the floor, some piece of matzah fell on the floor, they wouldn't even eat it anymore. But he wouldn't say you have to do that. The last thing is, you should buy your milk.
Ah, yes, I knew that.
And eggs before Pesach.
Why?
What you need for the Yom Tov, either buy it before Pesach or make sure you go to a store that bought their milk and eggs before Pesach, or buy only kosher Pesach milk. They don't make special kosher Pesach eggs. But why is this? Because the cows and the chickens eat chametz.
Milk and eggs.
The cows and the chickens eat chametz. And the chametz that they eat is what helps produce the milk and the eggs. And therefore, any byproduct of something that was from chametz would have the same status. It's not totally awesome, but it is a debate. But the Mishmaru says it's best to do that. So therefore, best to buy all of your milk and eggs before cheese for show was made beforehand. But the eggs could be within the 2-3 days, and milk also. So that's the practical concern is only that. If it's a kosher Pesach run of milk, so they took care of this problem.
Does the milk bottle have to be sealed and brand new for Pesach? Or if you bought it because you needed it and you still have some left for during the week of Pesach, can you still use that?
Yeah, I mean, as long as you didn't use it for your non-kosher Pesach coffee.
Cereal. You poured it over cereal. So you didn't touch the cereal. Mm. It was above the bowl.
Yeah, you could use it.
Can you use it?
Oh. I was worried about that.
Okay. So any last questions? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So I have two refrigerators and freezers, one in the basement. If I just want to use one part of the basement, if I want to use my refrigerator part, let's say in the basement, or my freezer, and I don't want to use the other side, Is that okay if I just clean out the one side and like the others?
Close it off, and you're not going there. You sell it with anything that's chametz in there. You can do that.
You don't have to sell the freezer; just the chametz in the freezer.
Correct. Correct.
The refrigerator. You have some stuff that's not kosher l'Pesach and some stuff that is kosher l'Pesach.
The same refrigerator?
We just have one in our apartment.
Yeah, and you have chametz items there?
No, curious. Like, can you sell your ketchup? Can you put your ketchup on a shelf and cover it with foil and sell your shelf with the rest of the fridge?
Vinegar and whatnot.
I mean, there's things that have to be refrigerated.
Correct.
But yeah, you could do that, yeah.
Okay, so you can keep it in the fridge, you just somehow seal it off?
Yeah, just put it in the, put it in a brown paper bag.
Paper bag.
And, right.
I'm going back to last week.
Write Mr. John Smith on it, or just write Chumash on it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we were talking like you're selling all your liquor, all of that. Does it have to be moved like to a separate area, or like it's in my closet?
As long as you just tape the closet.
Then we won't be able to get a code out.
Oh, that closet.
Yeah.
Oh.
So do I have to move all of that to the area where I'm storing all the other chametz?
Either that, or put it in a separate box. Put it in a box and seal the box. And does he have to make some separation, mark, some mark that identifying mark that this is chametz, this is somebody? It's best even not to see it.
Hence the paper bag as opposed to a plastic bag.
Okay, and remember, you have to enjoy the Yom Tov. If you can, take a good nap on Erev Pesach. That's a joke. Right. That's not going to happen.
After the manicure.
Okay. But when the men go to shul, that's when you take a nap. Take a nap, so you'll be ready for the Pesach. Enjoy the Seder. Enjoy it, and have a Simchas Yom Tov, and we should all merit to be able to eat from the Korban Pesach very soon.
Amen.